Matthew, the 12th chapter, verses 24 through 29. And it's also going to be on the screen. I'll just read from the screen, which is the King James Version. When you reach it, please say amen. Matthew, the 12th chapter, verses 24. First of all, I'd like to give honor to God, thanking God for his grace and mercy that kept me throughout this week. And I also want to thank our bishop for entrusting me and First Lady to minister to you, because it's always a privilege and honor to share the word of God with the people of God. I don't take it lightly to minister to you. I seek the Lord constantly to make sure that I give you what he really gave to me to give you. So let us read. But when the Pharisees heard, and they said, "This fellow does not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils." And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, there shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house?" Let's remain standing as I read the Amplified, because I want you to hear what the Amplified version, but I also wanted to use the King James. The Amplified, verses 24. But the Pharisees heard it and said, "This man cast out demons only by the help of Beelzebub, Satan, the prince of demons." Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said to them, "Any kingdom that is divided against itself is being laid waste. No city or house divided against itself will continue to stand. If Satan cast out Satan, that is his demons, he has become divided against himself and disunited. And how then will his kingdom stand? If I cast out the demons by the help of Beelzebub, Satan, by whom do your sons drive them out? For this reason, they will be your judges. But if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out the demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you before you expect it. Or how can anyone go into a strong man's house and steal his property unless he first overpowers and tie up the strong man? Then he will ransack and rob his house." You may be seated. Hallelujah to the reading of the word of God. Hallelujah. Today, if I had a subject, "United we stand and divided we fall." United we stand and divided we fall. It is an understanding and a concept that we not just use in the Christian dome, but in everywhere, in our families, in our workplace. If we are divided, the common goal or the purpose while we are there will not be accomplished. And it is understanding and very vital and important in Christian dome that we as believers understand that we have to work together. We have to work together. You may not like me. You may not like how I dress. But you've got to love me, or else you're going straight to hell. Let's be real. If you do not like what I like, it's okay. But as long as we serve the true and living God. And we have a commonality to understand the assignment that each and every person have in this house is absolutely necessary for us to fulfill the purpose of God. United is considered a condition of harmony. Accord, the quality or state of being made one. When a group of people act single-mindedly and unified in harmony, in unity, and without dissension, they are operating in one accord. Operating in one accord. United with others is good and pleasant, according to Psalms 133:1. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. To dwell together in unity. Unity is absolutely essential because the church is the body of Christ. You may be Episcopalian, you may be Baptist, you may be Church of God of Christ, but we are all in this together. When you fight against each other, you are only dividing and causing division among the body of Christ. There's no particular group of church believers or Protestant order or ecclesiastic order that have it all together. Let's be real. We all have issues. We all have things that we are dealing with as a body that is affecting all of us, if we will want to be honest. So it is important to understand where you are and where you stand in the body of Christ. Because united we stand and divided we will fall. A body cannot be disunited or in disharmony with itself. The head can't tell the foot to walk and the foot starts saying we don't want to walk. It does happen because when a person is brain dead, their body, their mind is gone. It is essential to see, to understand that being a part of the body and being a part of this group is important. Jesus' plan for his church is people to be united in faith. St. John 17:11 says, now I am more in the world. I am no more in the world, but they are in the world and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. This is Jesus explaining to us that he wants each and every one of us to be one. He wants all of us to understand that different personalities, different issues, different things about us, but still yet we are to be one. We are to be one voice, one faith, one baptism, one in mind, and one in everything that we do. The world looks at us when we are fragmented or disunified as we are confused. And the Bible says where there is confusion, there is the enemy and every evil work. The secret to unity begins with how we view ourselves within the body and how we view others. Philippians 2:2, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love of one accord, of one mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What is the mind of Christ? The mind is Christ, and the understanding is that we shall have love one for another. Bishop talked about love on last week's Sunday. The understanding is having one mind is understanding that you shouldn't be jealous of your brothers and sisters. You shouldn't be fighting one another. You should be supporting one another. You should be building building one another. You should be encouraging one another. You should be on the guarding one another. You should be praying for one another. You should be showing the love of God. Jesus said, how do you know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another? We ought to understand the mind of Christ is also thinking like Jesus Christ. Understanding that we wish that no one should perish, but everyone have the opportunity to have eternal life. Do you really want people to be saved? Do you really want people to be delivered? Or are you just selfish? You don't want anybody else to have what you've had. Philippians 2 and 3 say, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, considering others better than yourself. Considering others better than yourself. Considering others better than yourself. Meaning that you encourage and support and love your brothers and sisters. Even with their faults and their issues, sometimes individual in the kingdom of God is dealing with an issue, and it is not your job to scrutinize. It is not your job to judge. It is your job to love. It is your job to pray. It is your job to fast for them. It is your job to pray for them. But what we do as a people is call people on the phone and gossip about it instead of praying about it. What we do is pull each other down. Did you see sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so? But what you should be doing is praying. Jesus prayed for his disciples. He did it as an example that we should do it. Look at Peter. Peter was a cusser and was a fighter. He will fight you in a minute. Look what he did to the soldier's ears. He cut it right off. It is just like many of us. We are dealing with, some of us have temper issues. God ain't really finished with us yet. Some of us still got some attitudes. Some of us still got some things deep down from our childhood that God is trying to get out of you, but you won't let go. God is still dealing with your mind, your dirty thoughts, your ill-mannered behavior. God is still working on us. Who are you to judge us? Our job as believers is to cover our brother that's in fault. Not to permit the bad behavior, but to cover. There is a difference. When you cover, you let God work in the person. You let God do the transformation. You let God do the putting the person on the potter's wheel and begin to chip the pieces that needs to be chipped off and form it again and mold it and clay it and put it down and lift it up and turn it around and mold it into a vessel of honor and meet for the master's use. Because if we really be honest, we are all still on the potter's wheel. We're all on the potter's wheel, and he's working in us. He's working some stuff. Some of us need a little bit more patience. Some of us need to learn how to be quiet. Some of us need to learn how to pray. Some of us need to learn how to get yourself together. We often forget where God brought us from. All of a sudden, the saints get the spirit of amnesia. You forgot that you used to be like the person that you're judging. You used to be a liar. You used to be a cheater. You used to be, nobody couldn't even trust you with their pocketbook. Before they walked through the aisle, their pocketbook would have been gone. You don't remember where God brought you from. How dare you judge someone? We have the spirit of judgment instead of the spirit of love. We need to cover each other. The world do it. So why we got a problem doing it? And this is a family. What happens in the family stays in the family. That's not covering up sin. But we are our brother's and sister's keeper. If you really love me, you will cover me. Because I guarantee you, there's going to be a day when you may go through a situation where you may need my help. Come on in here. Because we're always not on top of the mountain. There's some seasons coming when all you are is inside of the valley. When you're down in the muddy clay. When you're down there and you need somebody's hand. When you need somebody to touch and agree. When you need somebody to pull you up. When you need somebody to walk with you. You need somebody to talk to you. When you need somebody to encourage you. You need somebody to love you. You need somebody to let you know. There, stand still. God is working it out. You need somebody to tell you it's gonna be okay. God's gonna work it out. I'm praying for you. I'm praying with you. I'll stand in agreement. I'll stand with you. I'll be there for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You need somebody to stand in the gap. When you can't pray, they'll pray. When you can't shout, they'll shout. When you can't say only but Jesus, you need somebody to intercede for you. I come to destroy the spirit of division and the spirit of schism. And I bind it up in the name of Jesus. And I pluck it up from the root. And I send it back to the pits of hell where it came from. No longer will we be divided. We will be unified. We will be one. One voice, one heart, one accord. The kingdom of God have never suffered so much violence, and it is because of our separation and our division. It's time for us to be unified. It is time for us to take back our city. It's time for us to take back our town. It is time for us to take back our children. It is time to take back our community. It is time for us to take back everything that the enemy has stolen. The disunity in churches are often caused when an act of selfishness. An act of selfishness. Consider ourselves better than others. You consider the job that you have been entrusted with, that you are not going to train anyone to replace you. You are inside of such, only you can do it. And you think that if you die tomorrow, it will go with you. But let me tell you something about God. God has always had a backup. You may think you are the only one, but he's got about 10 others waiting to take over your position. We have to understand that each of you should not look on only to your own interests, but also the interests of others. That's why it's important that when we are praying, we pray for each other. Pray for other people's children. If you want your children to be saved, if you want your grandchildren to be saved, pray for other people's grandchildren and watch God work for you. Watch God move for you. Because when you get out of yourself and get into the motion of what God really wants you to really pray about, you will see God move mountains. Sadly, the churches that experience disunity are in conflict and turmoil are generally filled with people looking to their own needs, their own desire, their own ambition, their own agenda. You got to watch when people come into church and all of a sudden you just want to move from the back to the front. You ain't served. You ain't been trained. You are not submissive. You ain't even been here a month. We ain't even seen your tire report yet. And you want to be up here. We don't know who you are. Because the devil comes to church. And he come every Sunday. Because the devil's job is to make people be in a routine instead of coming with praise and worship and ready to serve God and to do the will of God. Because you can come to church every Sunday and go straight to hell. You have never let God come into your heart. You have never gotten changed. You have never really let God deal with you. You come and you know all the dances. You know all the shouts. You know how to fake speaking tongues. You know how to roll on the floor, fake it like you think and you're going to make it. Let's be real. You got to watch people like that. We have to align our vision with the pastor's vision. There's only one pastor, one shepherd over this particular flock. I'm not the shepherd. You ain't the shepherd. Bishop is the shepherd. And a lot of us need to get that into our mind because we think we the pastor. You are not the pastor at 155 Grand Avenue. Stop letting the devil use you. I'm not the pastor. I am a minister of the gospel that assists him to help him to get to where God wants him to go. And the vision of this house. And if I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do, God remove me. Because I don't want to hinder the vision of God. I don't want to hinder souls being saved, delivered, and set free. I don't want to hinder ministry, miracles, signs, and wonder. I don't want to be a hindrance. I want to be a blessing. God getting ready to replace some of us. Because you are a hindrance. You're not a blessing. You're a curse. You're supposed to be a sheep, but you're a goat. It is time out for people to stop having their own agenda. What's the agenda of the pastor? If you ever listen to pastor, all he talked about is souls getting saved. Giving. Two main things that he always do. Souls being saved. Giving. Souls being saved. Giving. What did Jesus talk about? I didn't come for the lost sheep of Israel, for those that are lost. Isn't that the same thing that pastor's trying to reiterate every day? I come to get people saved. We come to bring people into the fold. They may not be a part of here, but as long as they're a part of the universal church, that's what's important. We often look at numbers and get fooled by numbers. Numbers will fool us every time. What we are to look at is the spiritual number. Because it's their name. We can have a packed church and maybe 20 people really saved. Really going to heaven. And the rest is going straight to you know where. Let's be real. I'd rather have 20 that are going into the kingdom of God than 5,000 that ain't going nowhere. Because what's important are souls. The souls. Bishop taught me one of the greatest lessons that I will ever learn as a minister. Can I tell you what it is? The grace that you have with people is the grace that God will have with you. That was deep to me. That was one of the most powerful lessons that I can learn from my bishop. Because it's the same grace that God has for each and every one of us. That's how we share it with one another. But a lot of times we don't have grace or compassion with others. We're quick to put them on the block and chop their head off. We're quick to destroy them. We're quick to put them out the church. We're quick to call somebody from another church and say, you know what? What happened at my church? Oh, this sister, such. They don't even need to know what's going on here. We are to be together. When you have selfish behavior, this behavior is characteristics of an unbeliever. Not those with the mind of Christ. Worldliness, not godliness, is the hallmark of disunity in churches. As Paul reminded us in Corinthians, for you are yet carnal, for in that there is among you envy, strife, division, and you are not carnal. You know, not walking according to men. 1 Corinthians 3:3. First Peter 3 and 8, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful and be courteous. It is okay to have differences, and that's a part of being human. Differences are the problem. It's how we handle the differences. It's how we handle the differences. Me and Minister Janelle may not agree on some things, but let's find the common ground and work together to build the kingdom. I may not like the idea of certain things, but I go along with it because she has that vision what God wants her to have for the care group leaders. And it's working. If it's not broke, you don't fix it. You continue to add to it. Romans 16 and 17 says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offense contrary to the doctrine which we have learned, and avoid them. Avoid them. If you know a person is a gossiper, you say, God bless you, hug them and kiss them and keep it moving. If you know they're always calling you with mess, rebuke them and tell them, stop calling me with mess. Because when you are partaker of it, you are involved in it. And that's the problem with us. We listen, but we say, we didn't say nothing, but you're still a partaker. And that's what we need to understand. As Christian, we are to see one another in the light of the cross. Fellow Christian are those from whom Christ died a horrible and painful death so that he might exchange his righteous perfection for their sins. 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. How can we now extend to them the love, compassion, and grace of our Heavenly Father? How can we demean and criticize and defame those who are covered with the precious blood of Christ? We're judging them. We let the people feel when they come in the door like they have to do all these extra theatrical things to be saved. We do all these things, give people commandments of men. We have nothing to do with God. Instead of bringing them to God to have a relationship. Relationship. Were we not slaves to sin when he called us? Hopefully lost and dead in our own transgression and sin. But we are now slaves of Christ. Slave to righteousness. As slaves of the master, the task before us is not to quarrel and demand our needs to be met, but to reflect his grace and love to those who are also his by his mercy. A church filled with such people cannot help but to have peace, unity, and harmony. Truly humbling persons see his own faults in the light of the perfection of Christ. He or she does not seek to see the fault of others, but when he or she does, he or she speaks the truth in love and desire their sanctification so that they will not be built up in the image of Christ. That is really saying to us that sometimes when we speak to somebody, if God shows you something to go to a person, pray about it, fast about it before you go. Let God give you the way how to speak to that person. Because one, we don't want to cause offense. And two, some people, it doesn't matter how you say it in love, they're going to be offended. Some people don't want to mature. Some people don't want to grow up in Christ. Some people don't want to grow from a babe in Christ to a teenager, adult, or whatever it is. Some people want to stay at the same level. Because some people have been saved for 20-something years and has not really moved from being a babe in Christ. Haven't matured. You can't talk to them about nothing. You can't rebuke them about nothing. If you rebuke them, they'll leave the church. You've been here 22 years and you want to leave the church? Something's wrong with you. 22 years, you done gave 22 years of your life to serving in the kingdom of God. And one little issue gonna make you leave the church? Something is wrong with you. You need to redo your first work all over again. We need to mature and grow up in Christ. The Bible says speak the truth in love. In love. Not nastiness. Approach the person with love. Because they'll be more able to receive what you are giving them. We're not here to judge each other. sometimes you what God is really trying to tell you when he showed you that stuff is not always to go to the person. It's for you to stand in the gap. Because what they're dealing with can be overwhelming to them. Maybe you got delivered from that same thing so quick. Oh, I don't know why it ain't getting delivered, because I got delivered. Just, no, everybody don't have that same. No. Drinking may be a problem for that person, and it may not be a problem for you. Lying may be a problem for you, but it may not be a problem for that person. It's a sin. Sin is sin. Sin is sin. It's not a bigger sin versus a little sin. There's no middle ground to sin. There's no compartments in hell for if you lie, you go here. Less fire. No, everybody go there. If you lie, cheat, steal, do everything, you go in one place. So have the understanding and the compassion to show them the love that Christ have for you to them. But he or she seeks not just to seek, notice the error. Some of us just want, we watch people to see their errors, their defects, and their faults. We're like the radar. Oh, Brother Ricardo is a liar. Oh, he's always lying. I just know he's just a liar, because I know I'll be watching him. You should be praying for me. I'm not saying that I'm a liar. I'm just giving an example, because I don't want y'all to leave church and say, Brother, we can't say, listen to anything Minister Ricardo say from now. He's a liar. He or she seeks to deprave his or her own hearts. Ephesians 4:3 said, and endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit in the bondness of peace. The Bible says, follow peace with all men. Holiness without no man shall see the Lord. Follow peace with all men, even people on your job. Even on your job. Because they're soul. They need guidance too. Some of them are saved, some ain't saved. And they're looking at you. And they know when you're safe. You ain't even got to tell them. Because the enemy in them said, that's one that's not mine. Don't mess with that one. No, they won't be friends with you. But when they're in trouble, minister, I know you go to church. I'm in a problem. Can you help me? Can you pray for me? It looked like I may be going to jail, but can you pray for me? And they know who to come to. They know who you are. They know when you pray, demons tremble. Healing and restoration come. Because they done heard from the other co-workers that came to you that had their messed up marriage that you helped save by praying and interceding. They know when they were sick and shut in, they called the right person and they got healed. They wasn't calling up on their money. They were calling up on Jesus. The name that's above every name. At the name of Jesus, sickness must flee. Diseases will bow. Cancer will fall. Heartaches will come in line with each other. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind, in the same judgment. The early church was being in one accord. Had no schism, no division, no extra interests. Nobody had their own agenda except Ananias and Sapphira. We know what happened to them. All these were one accord, were devoted themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary and the mother of Jesus and his brother, according to Acts 1:14. United in the early church is also expressed by the sharing of material possession. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart, one soul. And no one said that any of the things that belongs to him or his own, but they had everything in common. And one thing that I learned that God shared with me about position, he said, the stuff you have, it's not yours. You are a steward over it. And at any moment, I can take it away. You are a steward over the things you have. You can be a good steward or a bad steward. Good steward shares. Because according to the scripture, God will pour you all the blessing that you will not have enough room to receive it. When you don't have enough room, you want to give to others because you're always being replenished. You're always having. You are always giving. That's why I understand why pastor always gives, because he has more in store. Not that because he's the pastor, but he has learned the concept over life through his parents. And it's passed down to generation to generation that he understands that if I give this, it's not compared to what God is going to do for me here. It's not compared to what God is going to do for my children. It's not compared to what God is going to do for the church that I'm over. It's not compared to what God is going to move in our midst concerning. Because the more you give, the more you get. If you give sparingly, you will reap sparingly. If you give bountifully, you will reap bountifully. It is a blessing in giving. Jesus gave. And the only way I could understand why Jesus multiplied 3 fishes and 5 loaves is because of the anointing of multiplication. If he can use that to feed 15,000 people, what can he do with your 10%? What can he do with your 10%? Do you know how many souls are being saved from the when we give into the kingdom of God and we send money in our missions to different countries? Do you know how many lives are being touched? You know how what you have as a salary, people get that out 1 week of your salary. People get that in a year. And some may not even get that. And we complain that, God, I don't have enough. We don't have enough. I don't have enough. But if we really look at situation, what you really need, you have more than enough. You just want. Your wants and your needs are 2 different things. I'm just giving y'all a whole lot of nuggets right now. Your wants and your needs are 2 different things. God supplies all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You're healthy. You ate this morning. There's heat in here. We turn it off, but there is heat. You know, because y'all were hot, but I'm just saying. There's things that we have. There are people walking for miles to church that don't have a pube like this. They sit in a field on the ground and hear a message for 3 hours and walk back home 20 to 30 miles. And if pastor says Bible studies on a Tuesday night when it's raining, saints don't show up and you got a car. I'm real. I used to teach Bible stuff. People would call me. If there's a drop of flow snake, are we going to have Bible study? Did you go to work today? Yes. Then obviously yes. Because you went to work. What's the difference? People's mentality, where's your mentality? We always want to put God on the back burner until when we need something, we move him forward. It's like this. Come on, daddy. No, we don't want you right now. Yes? No. Let him always stay front. Let's continue. In all these things, what one accord. One of the things that we see in the book of Acts is the fellowship and communion that they had. They continued daily with one accord in the temple and break bread from house to house and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Acts 2 and 46. They praised God together. We saw the act of praise and worship this morning in such beautiful worship experience. We were in one accord. When you can be so excited, even at offering, we were so excited about God, not about the money, but about God, what he has done for us. That shows the unity of oneness that we should have and continue with. The oneness, that was oneness. That was powerful. Sunday after Sunday, we see God keep showing up and showing up and showing up. And I believe that there's great things in store for us. And when they heard that, they lift up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, is Acts 4 and 24. They also experienced miracles together because they were in one accord, from Acts 5 and 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. They were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. One accord. One accord. The same thing that happened in the book of Acts should be happening now. Should be continuing now. Why? Because we are the children of God. And we have a better promise. The things that were written in the word of God is to increase our faith, that we can do the greater things that Jesus said that we will do. You can lay hands on people and they get healed. You can pray from here and pray to Africa to our brothers and sisters, and they get food. God can feed them. Because there's death and life that is in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. The fruit can be a good fruit or it can be a bad fruit, depending how you say what you say and what you say. Because if I say, I am sick, you will get sick. If you said, I am whole or healed, you will remain healed. That's why when I'm not feeling well, I say, I'm not feeling 100%. I don't say I'm sick. I don't even want to call the word sickness on my body. I said, I'm not feeling 100%. Because I need to be at 100% every day to fully function to do what God has called me to do. And I got to pray up and say, God, whatever this is, get it off of me. Or I may have to take a little medication and keep it moving. But I don't say I'm sick. People say, oh, the doctor said I'm sick. The devil is a lie. I'm not sick. You may say you're sick. When they give me a report, I said, I don't receive that. That is not of God. I tell them right in front of their face, that is not of God. That ain't for me. That may be for the next person coming in, but it ain't for Ricardo. I'm just being real because I know the type of God that I serve. Because you start taking in stuff that they tell you, and then all of a sudden, you may never had it, and now you start putting in your mind, oh, I got diabetes. The doctor say I have diabetes. I got it. And then you keep rehearsing it. It's going to go in your spirit, and then you're going to have it. Or you're going to have symptoms of it and think you have it. Then you're going to start taking the pills that have 17 other side effects. You're trying to fix one thing, and you messed up in 17 other areas. You ever notice when this caused headache, bladder dysfunction, headaches, migraines, bleeding of the intestine? So why would I want to take it? I'll just risk it with the one thing. You know, and so these things that we see the miracles of God happening. And we see the imminent death of Jesus' mind appears to be full of master matters. Most pressing was urgent to him was the unity of the followers was of great concern. Jesus illustrated that the undesirability of disunity when he said, every kingdom that divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And we have to understand, I'm coming down to a close, that we have to understand as brothers and sisters, as children of God, if you divide against each other, we can't stand. We have to put away our differences, put away our egos, put away our selfish ambition, and humble ourselves and work together to fulfill the assignment of God. I am not going to always agree with everything that Bishop preached, I'm telling you. But I'm going to go along with what God says because it's the word of God. There's some Sunday I'm sitting there, I'm getting beat up with the word. I take it and keep it moving. Because at the end of the day, I must grow to where God wants me to go. Because if I stay here, I will never make it into the kingdom of God. We have to learn that in our life, we are going to experience things, and the most difficult experience that we will have to deal with is how to deal with each other. Because we're going to have to work with one another. We're going to have to love each other to go in. And the enemy's job is to get you divided with the spirit of unforgiveness or division, or you have an ought against a brother or a sister. And if you have an ought, you can't really function properly in your gifting or in your area of ministry. You could try to fool us, but we can see it. And so we have to look within ourselves and ask God, remove those things from me. Fill my cup till I want no more. Like the song says, clean my heart out till all they see is you, Lord, in my heart, in my life. Because if they see me, I'm no good. I'm as filthy rag. But when they see you, they see the God that I serve. And so Jesus taught the unity and was understanding that his unity was about teaching of oneness in beliefs and goals and value. This is what Jesus meant when he said, thou art, Father, art in me and I in thee. After a similar fashion, God asked the question, can two walk together unless they agree? In Amos 3:3. there is power in agreement. Matthew 18 and 20 says, for where there are two or three are gathered together in my name, they are in the midst of them. One can chase 1,000, two can chase 10,000, and so forth. Brother Deacon, I want you to stand with me. I'm going to show you guys something. When you're in agreement with someone, there is nothing, when we're in one accord, you can't come between us. And you can't pull us apart.
That's right.
It is just like a marriage.
That's right.
When we're touching in agreement in heart, in mind, in soul, in spirit, there is nothing that we cannot accomplish.
That's right.
And if we are believers and we're linked up together like this, the devil can't come in here and do what he wants. He can't win against you when you're under attack, when we're praying and interceding for you. God's got to move because his word says it. Where two or three gathered anywhere, touching in agreement, touching in agreement, touching in agreement. The word is agreement. Forgetting about what my agenda is, forgetting about what I think I need my agenda to be. What we are really praying, we're praying about deliverance. Deliverance for this or someone's healing or restoration. Togetherness. Oneness. Oneness. And that's what we need to do in the kingdom of God. We need to do this as one. One voice. One accord. Oneness. There's so much that we can accomplish together with each other. If we will learn to put away our differences and come in one accord. Because when you're in one accord, the enemy will never, never win against you. The Bible says no weapon formed against you shall prosper. The weapons may form, but they won't prosper. Whatever they try, it won't come against your marriage when you are in unity. Whatever they try as a body of believer, they can't come against you. Whatever they try on your job, they can't come up against you. Because you will always come out victorious. You will always come out winning. You will always come out on top, no matter what it looks like in the beginning. But in the end, if you trust him, he'll bring you out victorious. Just like he brought out the people of Israel. When the people of Israel were marching around the walls of Jericho, they were in one accord. They were in one accord. Marching days for days. And what happened? On the last day, the seventh day, the wall came down. Because they were in one accord. They shouted in one accord. They worshiped in one accord. And they were obedient to their leader. If we are willing and obedient, the Bible said we shall eat the good of the land. If we are willing and obedient. Some of us are under the spirit of disobedience. That's why God don't answer your prayer. That's why God can't move for you. You are disobedient to leadership. And God is a God of order. He will never step over your leader and just speak to you just like that. Not that you don't have a relationship where he won't speak to you, but certain things he won't just step over your leader and just speak to you. That's a lie from the pits of hell. I don't know where we get this from. God is a God of order. He says, order. Order. Just like he says, order my steps. If you acknowledge me in all of your ways, I will what? Direct your path. And he's directing our path. Even the people in the book of Acts, when they came together in that room, on the day of Pentecost, what happened? They were in one accord. And what happened? It was like a mighty rushing wind in that place. And that's how we need to be. That's what we need to be like. Thank you, brother. That's what we need to be like. That's what we need to be like. We need to be one. One of the things that I do when people come against you, when they speak to me about their food, I rebuke them. Because you're talking about my brother or you're talking about my sister. We are one. We are one. When you got an issue, I got an issue. When your marriage is failing, our marriage is failing. Because you know what? We're in this together. You may have your husband, but we're praying for you to stand against every opposition, everything that comes against that marriage. Because I should be so concerned about your well-being. That if it happens to me, it's the same way you would be with me. It's the same way. As I'm closing, we talk about unity, and I believe today we have a different perspective and understanding of what unity is. And as we walk, is there anyone that's not saved today? If you're not saved, come and join this family.